Good morning. How are you? We're really different in New Mexico. I love it when somebody presents from Los Angeles just before we present, and they have a community, a neighborhood with 1.5 million. We have a state with 1.9 million. So we don't have the same level. We have no relationships to disclose. And I want to tell you, we were funded by the University of New Mexico, the Center for Participatory Research, and this was a participatory research project to look at the New Mexico Health Equity Working Group and our capacity to engage in policy change. These are the members of the study, and Jackie is right here in the front row. Kitty, I think, stepped out. Okay, whoops. So our mission, the New Mexico Health Equity Working Group was formed in December of 2007. How many of you have seen On Natural Causes? How many of you are in on it? You've lived this. So we formed around the notion that in New Mexico, we kind of jimmy with Mississippi as being the worst place in the country to raise a child. That's not a good thing to be. So our mission statement is we want to reframe health in New Mexico to address the social conditions, connect individuals, communities, organizations, agencies to work on promoting health equity, and advocate for ethical policies that either eliminate or mitigate health disparities. So this next legislative session, we're actually introducing an institutional racism policy. Oh, I went backwards, sorry. Okay. How many of you are familiar with health impact assessment? Okay, then we'll just kind of skip over this part. We were really fortunate in having, do you all know Rajiv Bhatia? We had him come out last year to help us move this forward, to introduce some policy. It's a tool. It's only a tool, and you can follow it rigorously, scientifically, or you can work with the community and do it their way. I won't read this to you. So there's a whole spectrum of practice in HIA, and you can use it to approach just a single problem or to address a whole set of conditions. We were working on a single problem, and I will get to that. These are the steps that are typically followed in HIA, and they're not necessarily linear. You can go back and forth and work on some and then have to go back and reassess where you're going. So what did we do? And I have to apologize in advance. The main portion of our presentation was a video clip that won't show. So we're not going to even try to enact it for you, but I will try to describe what happened. A section of Albuquerque called the North Valley, and we have, of course, like everywhere in the USA, concentrations of communities that are dumped on. The North Valley has its share. There's a cement plant there that put in for a permit and was given a permit by the Air Quality Division to expand to 24/7, seven days a week, 24 hours a day, from 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And it kind of slipped through and they got the permit. So we joined the Neighborhood Association. The Neighborhood Association appealed the permit process. We joined them in the fall of 2009. And we helped them file an appeal. We went before the Air Board, helped them with their, I should back up. We asked for permission to join them. And they said, "Who are you?" Well, we're with the university, we're a very large group, we have several members who are willing to work with you, and that was important. They gave us permission to join them, we didn't just join them. So a settlement was reached in December, and what did we do with them? We met with them weekly, so it's very labor intensive. How many of you work in community? Not a whole lot. Okay, if you work with community, you have to meet the community where they are. They have meetings that are not necessarily during 8 to 5, because of course they work. So we met with them, regularly. We tried to get experts to help testify, and in particular, a COPD, a pulmonary physician who was a pediatric asthma specialist. That was very hard to find. We went to many before we found one person who was willing to testify. We recruited representatives with experience in environmental justice, so this is the nexus between public health and environmental justice, of course, at the community level. And we assisted the community group in their meetings with the EPA because there was some question over who had authority to regulate air quality. Is it EPA, is it the state of New Mexico, or is it the local air board? And which regulations supersede other ones? This is what I wanted to show you. And what it shows is a community, a poor community, and some it's primarily Hispanic, and the people saying, we're not sure what's happening to us, but they're going to expand, and they say that it won't increase our exposure to anything. So what's happened as a result of this, this is a community perspective on what worked, having us join them, is they were very pleased that, number one, we showed up. So we showed up for air quality meetings, we showed up for their meetings, we showed up for the meetings with a cement plant. And in their perspective, having professionals from the university, from organizations, gave them some credibility that they didn't have before. I think that they had the expertise, we just gave them the oomph. One of the community members said that we gave them hope and courage, and that was so meaningful because they felt that they were pretty much out on their own fighting a huge conglomerate with no respect for what the community felt. As a result of this, well, I'll do this first. So communicate expectations. Of course, our community members wanted to know immediately, what are we being exposed to? What are we going to die from? And could you please just roll that out for us and let us know right away? Well, of course, we can't do that. And we had to tell them the exposures would be over 30 years. We might not see the results for a while. They listened to that well. You have to tolerate ambiguity. When you're talking about environmental justice, you're talking about social justice. Whose injustices are they? And who's being impacted by what decisions? Who has... who can participate in those decisions? We've already done meet the community where they are. The need for interdisciplinary contributions. We obviously needed experts who could do air monitoring, who could explain pulmonary illnesses, who knew exposure models, et cetera. The power of participation is probably the biggest lesson that we had, is just by being there, the community said that made the difference for them. And expertise, of course, is relative. I think the community has more expertise than it acknowledges, and of course, that industry will acknowledge. That's it. Thank you so much.